Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Recognized again, if I can draw your attention to verse 23, where Jesus says, yeah, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Recognized by its fruit. I grew up in a church world in which I was constantly recognized. I just was. I couldn't avoid it. I didn't want to be a pastor because I had already spent so much of my life already recognized. I was the pastor's son. My daddy was a pastor. My daddy was a bishop in his denomination. So I grew up recognized. I don't know if any of you had a parent or somebody that was somebody in the church. And you were recognized. Oh, that's Mother Sullivan's. Oh, that's the deacon's child. You were recognized. For a lot of my life, I was really bothered by the idea of being recognized because I always got in trouble. It was me and all my friends was there, but it was like, who was there? I know Pastor's son was there. There was no way to hide. I was constantly recognized. It really bothered me a lot. And as I got older and became a teenager, I really had that kind of PK kind of attitude of I just want people to leave me alone. And I don't really want anybody watching me. I didn't want anybody looking at me. I just want to kind of be my own private person. A lot of times, I didn't want the responsibility of having to live a certain way for other people. I just wanted to live just for me. I just wanted to do what was good for me. I just wanted to focus on me. I wasn't interested in the ministry because I didn't want the weight of other people's salvation resting on me. I didn't want anybody upset or coming or not coming to church based on me. I really wanted to just be able to be myself as an individual person. And it wasn't long before I realized that the Lord is just not interested in any of us being undercover. The Lord is not interested in any of his children. Just like when I would complain to my mother about it, my mother would say, well, you got to take the good with the bad. You get to drink the extra communion juice and eat the extra bread. Y'all don't know what I'm talking. So what, along with that, you get you his son. That you can't take the good of being the bishop's son and not take the challenge of it, that you're going to be recognized. As I got older, I realized it didn't make any sense really to fight against it. Didn't make any sense fighting against the call of God on my life, because the Lord wasn't interested in me hiding anyway. That the Lord wants his children recognizable. The Lord wants people to actually know that we belong to him. He wants to stamp his name on us. He actually wants people to be able to know that you belong to him. God wants us to be recognizable. If someone wonders if you're a Christian, the answer should be obvious. It should be obvious to people that you're a Christian. And you may be finding yourself in situations that are forcing you to come out of the closet and actually admit, I got a prayer life. Actually admit, I read the word. Actually admit, you know, I go to church on a regular basis. Actually, if it was not for God on my side, if it wasn't for my faith, and it wasn't for who the Lord is in me, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for God. You'll find yourself in conversations where people are probing you. The Lord is pushing you into a situation in which you will have to admit that you belong to him. You can't hide. You may be able to do it for a little while, but if you walk with God long enough, the Lord wants people to know that you belong to him. There's a passage of scripture that says that the Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows them that belong to him. And I can't get the benefit of belonging to him without the challenge of being recognized as belonging to him. I can't receive the blessing of belonging to him and not carry any of the responsibility of his kingdom. I can't just get the blessing that comes with church without having any of the responsibility of making sure that church looks right and that people have the right attitude about church. I can't just eat from the table and not think about how the food got there. As I mature, I have to start to think about, wow, this is the kingdom of God, and it feeds me, and what feeds me, I got to feed. I feed what feeds me. The last thing I want is for this place to shut. I need this place to have. I need this worship to have. I need a word like this. I need a place that can make me feel like going when trials come on every hand. I need some place where I can go. And so I have to realize that I'm a part of making that happen. We cannot become so dominated by a consumer perspective that we don't realize that you have come to the kingdom not just to get church, but to produce church. You're not here just to get kingdom, you're here to produce kingdom. And that at some point, the church is only as good as the people that attend. The church ends up being a reflection of the people that are in it. And if people feel funny about the church, it's not just the leaders, it's the people that go there. That how you are and how you carry yourself has a reflection on the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about World Overcomers. I'm talking about the church of the living God. I'm talking about God's church. I'm talking about people's attitude about the church. When I was got this opportunity to guest lecture Sean, an awesome time, and I basically took them to the passage there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, where Jesus says that him and the disciples, when they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" That Caesarea Philippi was a carnal city. It was a Hellenistic city. It was not a spiritual place. That Jesus came to a heathen place, a place that was not particularly a Christian region, and asked the question, "What do men say about us?" Here I am at Shaw talking about church growth, and I'm saying, we're so quick to get to you and the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We're so quick to get to that we miss the exam. And the exam is, what do men say about the church? Who do people say that I am? What is the consensus about us out there? What do men say? Not what do church folks say? Not what do the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people say? What do people say about God? What do people say about church? What do people say about you? What do people say about me? I have to think about that. I can't just live by who God says I am. I also have to be aware of who you say I am. If I really am content in myself, then I can be aware of people's perceptions, even if the perceptions are wrong. Their perceptions about Jesus were respectful but wrong. Some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets, meaning something that we have seen already, something that was already, that has already happened. And beloved, when I look at who men say the church is, they basically think it is something that has already happened. It's just old school. It's Jeremiah. It's one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're something new. You're something with power. You're something that can fit whatever the need is. You are the Christ. You are the one with power from on high. You are something that nobody has ever seen before. You are a brand new something altogether. And I asked the question of the students there, and that is, can the church be anything new? Does the church have to always be so determined to be so spiritual that we're so reverent that we're not relevant? That was the question I asked. And I'm getting into all of that just to pose and to say to all of us that the Lord wants us to be recognized, especially today. Now, back in the day in the church I grew up in, you could recognize the saints by how they dressed. Because saints didn't wear no jeans. Preachers didn't wear no sneakers. Preachers didn't wear no sneakers. Even young preachers wear suits and church shoes everywhere. And then when I put on a pair of church shoes, I got to get them things off as quick as I, because that's just how the saints were. The saints walked in a certain way, and the saints talked in a certain way. And your saints had a Bible with them on. The saints had a Bible and a hymnal, and saints wore dresses down to here and necks up to here. And church I grew up in, it was a holiness church. No earrings and no makeup and no red. Women couldn't wear red. You about to bust hell wide open. You could tell who the saints were. Some of us grew up in churches where they pinned a little thing on the top of your head. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That you knew who the saints were. You could tell just by how they looked. And as we've gotten more free, and I praise God for it, as we've gotten more free and more mainstream, we have to be careful that we don't become so mainstream that we undercover. We want to be so mainstream that people can't tell who belongs to God and who don't belong to God, who actually is a child of God and who actually is not a child of God. I was raised in a world in which you were trying to be different. They just, and it was restrictive. I'll admit it was restrictive. You couldn't do nothing in my daddy's church. I don't know, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You couldn't do nothing. You couldn't go to the movies. You couldn't do a thing. You think he's coming like a thief in the night. He's going to catch you where you are. Yeah. You always had to think about your witness. Always. Always think about your witness. And I remember one time I was with a friend of mine. He wasn't as, he was kind of going to church with me, but not really. But his parents weren't saved at all. And his dad, I was there hanging out with him. And his dad sent him to play the number because his dad played the number every day. And so his dad sent him to play the number. And so I'm going down here. I'm like, what are we doing? He's like, we got to go down to the liquor store to play the number for my father. When we got to the liquor store, I was like, ooh, I don't even know if I can go in a liquor store. I looked around, see if anybody is watching. When I went on in the liquor store with him, and it's my first time in. I was like, ooh, it's nice. And I was like, oh, my Lord, this is a liquor store. And he was like, come on, let's grab something while we're in here. And so he grabbed a soda. I grabbed a soda. And the guy at the cash register, do you want a brown bag for your soda? I said, no, I don't need no bag for my soda. When I walked out the liquor store, I had my 7-Up up in the air. I said, this is a 7-Up, everybody, because they just made you think about your witness. They didn't want any confusion about who belonged to God and who did not. I had a witness in the building. They made you testify. They made you tell somebody. And I don't know if you've ever been made to testify. We had testimony service made on the ride in. My mother be saying, now I want you to give a testimony. They patting you on the back. Oh, get on up there and tell the great things that the Lord has done for you. Well, I took a test yesterday in the fourth grade and I got a C. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. He done got F's every week. It was like they made you. They wanted you to be recognized as a believer. And now we just so mainstream now. My wife and I were watching some comedian on Netflix, and he was just talking about, we love God, don't we? And everybody in there was saying, hallelujah. One minute he's saying mother effer, and everybody's on the floor. And the next minute, everybody's like, I love Jesus. And I thought to myself, it's amazing how we have just become so. I don't want us to. I love it, but we can't be that way so much that folk can't recognize us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to us? We still have to be able to dare to be different. We still have to have the courage to say, no, just because I'm here at this party with y'all don't mean I'm just like y'all. I'm here, but I'm not just like y'all. I love y'all, but I'm not just like y'all. There's something on the inside of me. And I used to be this way, but I'm not that way no more. I used to act like this, but I don't act this way anymore. And it's cool to be around y'all a little bit, and I love y'all, but I've come to the understanding that there is a price to pay for living just like this. That the Lord wants people to recognize us. I know that when we think about being recognized, we want to be recognized by things like blessing. And I want to be recognized by blessing. I know that. I want people to come to me and say, now, how did that happen? And me say, it was the Lord's doing. Marvelous in my eyes. God made a way. The Lord opened up a door. God gave me this dream, and God gave me this vision, and God spoke a word to me. A man came to meet with me yesterday, and this man had the most incredible testimony of how he died, and he was dead for 26 minutes, and he saw Jesus. Lord had a conversation with him, and it was amazing, mind-blowing, with this testimony he was telling me of how he died when he was 12 years old, and how now God is speaking to him, and how the Lord has sent him to have a conversation with me, and I'm just sitting here like, woo, hallelujah, amen. That's right, let's have a conversation, let's talk. He asked me, when you look at your congregation, the Lord told me to ask you a question. When you look at your congregation, what do you see? I was a little nervous when he asked me, because I'm like, somebody that's talking to God like this, I need to make sure I have the right answer to answer what the Spirit of God is saying to him. So I wanted to make sure I lined up. And I said, when I look out into my congregation, I see millionaires. That's all I see. I see millionaires. I see millionaires everywhere. I see people who ain't millionaires yet, but God has a plan for them, and they have an idea and a dream and something that the Lord has said that's going to birth on the inside of him. And he said, oh, that's exactly what God told me to tell you. And I said, woo, I know that we are in line. And he said, yes, because there is something that God wants to do, and I want us to be recognized by that blessing. Can I get a witness? I want us to be recognized by blessing. I want us to be recognized by gifting. I want somebody to say, wow, that's a gift. Wow, that's an anointing. Wow, that's amazing. Wow, that's the Lord. I think sometimes we have to be careful. I remember back in the day, we used to just give God credit for every little thing. Everything we gave God credit for. Everything we gave God glory for. And I think we have to keep saying, yes, it was God. The Lord is the one who gave me this gift. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, that a tree is actually recognized by its fruit. Tree is recognized by its fruit. Now, if we're not going to be recognized by our clothes, if that's not how folk are going to know, if we're not going to be recognized by our talk and our walk, if we're not going to start speaking in King James English, if we're not going to be recognized that way, if we're going to wear jeans and we're going to wear dress and we're going to have folk on wear makeup and earrings and we go, that's great. But so the Lord is saying, all right, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to be recognized by your fruit. This is how people will know that you actually have been born of the Word. It's what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 is saying. He's saying, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, now that you haven't been purified just by somebody laying hands on you, you haven't been purified by somebody's testimony, you haven't been purified by singing somebody's song or listening to somebody's album. Praise God for somebody's album. Praise God for somebody's worship songs. Praise God for your experience you had in church. Oh, that's great. But the Apostle Peter is saying, well, there's a purification that comes from obeying the Word. Now that you have actually taken a bath by obeying the Word, now that you have actually purified yourself by obeying the Word, it's not just somebody purified you. It's not just you came into an anointed service like this and got purified. That's great, but now that you have decided to take responsibility for your own spiritual purification, now that you have decided you're not going to leave it on a pastor, you're not going to leave it on an elder, you're not going to leave it on a mentor, you're not going to leave it on a deacon, you're not going to leave it on any individual person, you're not going to allow any one individual person in the earth to have all the control of all of your spirituality. We may inspire you to be more spiritual, but at some point, you got to be grown and got to be responsible for your own funk. You wash your child so they don't get funky. At some point, when them little people start growing hair, you say to them, now listen, you got to brush your own teeth. You got to wash your arm. I'm not going to be washing you. You teach them, this is how you do. This is how you soap. I remember my dad saying to me, what do you do when you get in the shower? And I just was like, I don't know. Show me. Tell. Hey, he didn't make me take my clothes off. He said, let's pantomime it. Show me. And I was like, why are we having this conversation? Because clearly you must not be cleaning right. If I can smell you when you come in the room, it's like, show me what you're doing. I'm not going to bathe you. Show me how you bathe yourself. At some point, as a believer, it is not enough of an excuse that somebody messed up. That's not an excuse for you to lose all your spirituality. Having a hypocrite around you, not enough of an excuse for you to lose all spirituality. Just because somebody betrayed you, at some point, you have to be responsible. I need a witness. At some point, you're going to have to take responsibility for your own funk. Hey, you got to be like, whoa. I need to get in the word. Woo! I need to memorize some scripture. Woo! I need to go to prayer. Woo! I need to get back into the word. I need to memorize something. There is stuff going on in my mind, and I got to get around the people of God. I got to get around. I can't leave it up to somebody else all the time. I have to purify myself by obeying the word. I've got to say, all right, what does the word say to do? Let me purify myself so that I, by obeying the word, I would contend we want to be purified by everything but obedience. We want to be purified by the blood of Jesus. We want to be purified by grace. We want to be purified by somebody's anointing. We want to be purified by somebody's worship service. When Peter says, well, yeah, but there's a purification that comes from obeying the word. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the word, and this is how you know, because your love is sincere. That you actually love sincerely, that your love is not shallow, that you love one another deeply and sincerely. It's real. You don't just love somebody just for what they can do for you. You love somebody when it's hard to love them. You love somebody when it's tough to love them. You love somebody when it may not be convenient for you to love them. You love somebody even when it's a sacrifice for you to love. It's a sincere love, not just for Christ, but you love one another from the heart. Where would the church be if we judge our Christianity not by how well we love God, but how well we can love one another? Now that you have purified yourselves so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply. In other words, he's saying, right, that you ought to know that you've passed from death to life because you know how to love people. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help me, Jesus. I'm preaching to myself. Honestly, this ain't even my point tonight, but the Lord got me messing with my own self. You don't know how well you can love somebody till somebody do something to you that ain't lovable. I need a witness. Till somebody does something that makes you want to kill them, you don't really know how deep and sincere your love is until somebody does something that's unthinkable to you, and then you really get to find out how saved you are. You don't find out how saved you are in church. You find out how saved you are in life. You find out how saved you are when you get betrayed. You find out how saved you are when somebody hurt your feelings. You find out how saved you are when you find yourself in a situation in which loving that person is no longer convenient to you. He said, now that you have sincere love for one another, love deeply from the heart, for you have been born again. Born again. Y'all remember when we used to say this? Born again. Y'all remember that? I'm a born again believer. Anybody remember that? I'm born again. What are you? I'm born again. It wasn't just I'm a Christian. I'm born again. It wasn't just I go to church. I'm born again. I didn't just have the first birth. I'm not just trying to do it a little bit better. I'm not trying to add a little Jesus. No. I'm born again. I've decided to get involved in a second birth. I decided to give my life to Christ. I heard a word. I was cut to the heart. I said, what must I do to be saved? I said, all right, Lord, I'm turning my life over to you. I'm going to start living according to the word. I'm going to get in some water. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to come out of that water, and I'm going to turn my back on how stank I used to be, and I'm going to live my life in a different way because I'm born not of just a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed. Through the living, enduring word of God. Good God, if we can just get back to this. That we're not born again of any man's ministry. We're born again of the word. From the living and enduring word of God. Because everything else isn't going to last. Verse 24, for all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers in the fall, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Pastor Andy is like grass. I will fall, but the Lord's word endures. I'm not going to live forever. You're not going to live. No matter who it is you look up to, Jakes, Joyce, Creflo, Algae, it don't matter who you look up to, we're not going to live forever. At some point, one of us is going to die. And you better have a religious connection that is deeper than a somebody. I need a witness in the building. You better have a faith that is bigger. We better be somebody to introduce you to Jesus, but we sure don't need to be your link to Christ. Your link to Christ needs to be his word. It needs to be your experience. I don't even know why I'm all into this. It ain't in the message at all. But it needs to be that you know God for yourself. That you have a relationship with God for yourself. That if a preacher does mess up, you ought to have mercy because you need mercy. I'm not saying it's an excuse for us to mess up. I'm just saying that should nobody messing up wreck your relationship with God. You ought to know him better than that. You ought to have a relationship with him that is enduring. For the grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And that's the word that was preached to you. The word that was preached to you was on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's Jesus died for you. I need a witness in the building. Jesus died for you. Jesus shed his blood for you on Calvary. And so that your relationship should be with him and that you ought to be recognized as having a relationship with him. That people ought to be able to see that. And it makes me ask the question consistently of you and of myself. Are you of the world or are you of the word? What has birthed you? The world or the word? If you're on the planet long enough, live long enough, you will see that the concepts of the world will end up being in contrast to concepts of the word. As much as we want to be aware of the world's concepts, one of the challenges of it is what the world thinks and what the word thinks isn't always the same thing. And I have to ask myself, well, am I walking according to the world or am I walking according to the word? Am I living my life according to what the word says or am I living my life according to what 21st century thought is? Are you of the world or are you of the word? That is the question. And I'm saying tonight that we ought to be recognized by fruit that happens as a result of the word. As a result of us being in a service like this, as a result of us reading the word on a regular basis, as a result of us memorizing some scripture, there ought to be fruit of the word that is clearly recognizable. First Peter in 1 Peter, Peter talks about it. And I want to just, I've got seven of them because I see sevens everywhere. But I'm just going to share a couple of them with you because I'm running out of time. But the first one I see is in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, which we didn't even read. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13, put it in your notes, Peter says, therefore with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. I just see fruit of the word right there. First fruit of the word that I see in there is that you have a prepared mind. It's the first one, the prepared mind. The word has helped me get my mind together. The word has helped me get my head together. I've got the right mindset as a result of the word. Got the right mindset. It's one of the fruits of the word. Part of the way that I know that the word is bearing fruit in me is I've gotten heady. I've gotten thoughtful. I've gotten sober-minded. I realize I can't just do whatever I want and not think about it. I realize that the time to be high is over. I realize that I got too much to do to be getting drunk all the time. I realize I've got too much to do to not be thinking clearly. I realize I need to be alert and sober and awake. I realize that if I don't think, I'm in trouble. There's a result of my relationship with Christ. I realize he gave me a mind for a reason, and I need to be thinking. I need to be thinking about the right things. I need to have the right mindset that I need to learn from my past. This is what happened, and I need to learn from it. I was having a conversation with a young man recently, and I was putting him through some things. I could tell he didn't like it, and I was giving him some examinations. He's in a conversation with me. He's just so ready to move on, and I'm like, yep, I hear you. I get it that you want to move on. But before we move on, we need to examine how we got to this place. Because if we don't examine how we got to this place, we will find ourselves here again. Anyone that does not examine history is doomed to repeat it. And so I'm sorry. I know it's painful. I know that we just want a hallelujah and go right on. Amen. We just want the blood of Jesus to just fill in all the cracks and crevices. And we just want, no doubt about it. Thank God for his blood. But if I really have the right mindset, then I'm going to ask myself, Lord, how did I end up here? How did I end up back here again? How am I with another somebody that broke my heart? How am I in another situation where I don't have no money? How did I end up at another job where can't nobody stand me? How did I end up in another situation that is so similar to the one I had in the past? Lord, is it me that if I don't take a moment to examine it, then I don't have the right mindset? I think we've spent way too much time in the church trying to bear spiritual fruit and not taking a second to say, all right, if we really have the fruit, then we ought to have the mind of Christ. And I ought to be able to answer some questions. And I ought to be able to sit down and think about this thing. I ought to have the right mindset. I ought to have learned from the past. I ought to be able to maximize the present. I want to maximize this right now. I can't gloss over it. I got to take a look at where I am right now and get the most out of today. I've got to focus on the future with determination. I've got to say, all right, this is where I was. This is where I am. This is where I'm going. I don't really think that I'm bearing the fruit of Christ if I'm not actually examining where my mind is. I know that there are some of us, my hand is up on this one, there are some of us who we had to examine our minds because our minds kind of started to fail us. Help us, Holy Ghost. Started being attack against your mind. And enemy started attacking you mentally. And so you had to take a step back and baby step out where you think and what you think and why you think and how you think. It was the only way that you could keep from going crazy. Because you actually realized that you weren't doing the proper examination, that one of the fruit of the word is my mind gets together. My head gets together. I got my head together. People ought to be able to recognize you by that fruit. There's no way heathens should be smarter than believers. Ooh, that was hard. Help me, Holy Ghost. There's no way that someone that doesn't know God ought to be thinking deeper than those of us who know him. Second part of it that's in that same verse is that he says that I want you to have the minds that are alert, that are ready for action, that faith without deeds is dead. And so my mind is prepared and my mind is trying to figure out, all right, what's the action that goes along with this next? We know that you're alive because you're moving. We know that you're alive in Christ because of actions that you take. So that if I have the right kind of mindset, then I'm determined to take appropriate actions, and those appropriate actions are a part of the fruit of God in my life. A part of the fruit of the word is I don't just hear the word, I obey the word. I don't just hear the word, I got to do something with this word. I can't just say, preach, preacher, and then go out and just live my life any way. I guess I got to take this word, and the word that I hear, I got to prepare my mind for action. I got to be alert, and my mind has to be ready to do something with what I hear. What shall I do to be saved? What's the next step for me? What's the next thing for me to do? That there is an alertness, there is a focus, there is an action that I'm determined to find. There's an action that my mind is looking for. What's the action that accompanies the word I hear? It's a part of the fruit of the word. A part of the fruit of the word is there's an action that's connected to the word. As a result of the word, I sanctify. There's a sanctification. There's a cleaning. There's a separation. I have to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I realize that there's some actions I have to take. There's some steps I have to take because my mind is ready to do something, not just hear something. That there's an action that is connected to it, that I'm looking to sacrifice. I'm looking for the cross that I'm supposed to carry. Anyone who would come after me must take up his cross and follow me. So I'm kind of looking for the hard thing. It's almost not really valuable if it's not hard. If it's too easy, I don't really trust it. One of the challenges, just even in church, back in the day, it wasn't easy to join a church. You had to take a certain amount of classes. You had to go through a certain amount of stuff. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We're so desperate to make it, people be able to join it, that we want to make it easier. But the challenge of it is sometimes when it's too easy, you don't respect it. Sometimes when it's too easy, you don't even care. You didn't go through enough for you to care. If you don't pay for it, you don't respect. It's just if you don't sacrifice. Without a sacrifice, it ain't real. It's not real till you bleed a little bit. It's not real till it costs you something. It's not real till it hurts a little. It's not real till you've served some. That there's an action that I take, and my action is I can't just get it, I got to serve it. I can't just receive it, I got to serve it. I can't just have it and not give to it. I got to serve this thing. That a part of the action that I'm looking at is, how can I help this thing happen? And how can I sow into this thing? And how can I be a part of this thing? And we got to get back to that. I'm speaking this on a Wednesday night. We got to get back to that. We got to get back to being the kind of people that can say, wow, what a word. How can I help that get out there? Wow, what a church. How can I serve it? Not just how can it serve me. How can I serve it and make it better? How can I help it to be even greater than what it is? Instead of me sitting here critiquing it as to whether or not it met my need, I need to ask myself, have I brought anything to the table to help the church better? Not just what has the church done for me, but what have I done for the church? How have I moved the kingdom forward? Because my contention is that you will never be satisfied if you only have a consumer mentality. You will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied in a relationship if all you're thinking about is what you get from that person. Never. No woman will ever match up if all you're thinking about is whether or not she's perfect and whether or not she's going to give you what you need. You will never settle down. You will never find anybody if all you're thinking is, what does this man bring to me and what do I get? You will never be satisfied. At some point, you have to ask yourself, what do I bring to this family? Not just what do I get from this family. What do I bring to this relationship? Not just what do I get from this relationship. What do I bring to my career? Not just what do I get from it. That I realize that if I don't serve it, I'll never be satisfied. Anyone who thinks that they will be satisfied sitting around waiting to be served never settles anywhere. They church hop everywhere, looking for the new fad and the new thing and the new word and the new fangled thing, where what really is missing from us today is that we have to give more than we receive. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Follow me and I'll give you work to do. Follow me and I'll give purpose to your life. Follow me and you'll start telling somebody about God, not just waiting to hear what kind of word you heard today. I need a witness in the building. You will get to a point in which you will say, God, I need to know the word to share it, not just hear it. Oh, I'm calling you. You have to know at a whole nother level to share it. But there is a whole nother depth that comes to you when you start to understand how to make the bread and not just eat it. Once you start getting your hand in that dough, there's a whole nother kind of confidence and a whole nother kind of respect you have for the word. You have a whole nother kind of respect for the word when you're looking to share it, not just eat it. You start talking to somebody and you start counseling someone, you start praying for somebody, you cannot be spiritual when you got to pray for somebody else. I need a witness in it, but I know I'm not the only one who other people's spirituality is resting on you. And we can't be just undercover, non-recognizable Christians anymore, because the reason why the Lord has saved us is to use us. Is to use us. We are the salt of the world. We are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. And the church has to be the church. If the church can't be the church, what is going to happen to the world? If the church can't say we shouldn't lie, what's going to happen to the world? If you can't trust church people, what's going to happen in the world? At some point, beloved, we have to realize, I have to realize, that we have been called to the kingdom for just such a time as this. And the Lord blesses us, it's to be a blessing. You ought to be recognizable. The that his family, his children, are recognized by their fruit. If you're determined to be recognized, put your hands together. Praise the Lord. If you heard a word from the Lord, jump on your feet. Reach out, grab somebody's hand. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we're born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. Thank you that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but your word endures forever. Thank you, Lord God, for sinking your word down on the bottom of us. Make us weighted at the bottom. We don't want to be light and easy and flighty. God, we don't want to be shallow. We want some depth. Give us depth in the word. Fill our cup, Lord. We lift it up. Quench the thirsting of our soul. But God, once you quench the parched and the dry place of our throat, God, get down and satisfy a deeper dehydration. God, at the bottom of us, refill our well. At the bottom of us, God, refill our storage. At the bottom of us, Lord God, refill our reservoirs. Give us peace, not just for us, but give us peace that we can share. Don't just give us a joy for us. Give us a joy we can share. Oh, God, use us for your glory. Thank you for living so big in us tonight. Thank you for the service that we had. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for our cups being filled. Thank you for the word that you have given us. Thank you more than anything for the work that you have for us to do. We surrender ourselves to your will and to your way. Dismiss us from this place. Bring us back on Sunday, Lord God, and speak a word of life to us. Protect us as we travel and do the things that we've got to do, and use us for your glory. God, as we always pray, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you.